Hey, everybody. This is episode 210, and on this episode, it features the return to our podcast of Matt F. Basler. And it's kind of somewhat of a sequel, unofficial sequel to a podcast Missy and I did on his just a few days before, except this is kind of a more serious day. In fact, it's our a really good dive into The Mandalorian, especially season two in the finale. You're going to notice some things during the episode. One of them, and you might even hear it here, it's very hard for me to pronounce words right now because of how bad my teeth hurt after surgery. I did not expect it to last this long, and I'm being a complete wuss. And at the end of the podcast, you'll kind of hear me bring it up. But if you hear that, just know that there's enunciation is a problem right now. And two, or in addition, I wanted to also bring up a couple of things on the message board. One, super sweet, super awesome. Mike Schilling of Dead Nightmare fame stopped by and gave us some Christmas gifts. He gave them out to some of the cast members of Dead Nightmare, of which Missy and I were on. So those are now hanging in the man cave, and it was super awesome. So please, please, please go check out deadnightmare.com, and you can check out, you can see everything from Z-Man Productions right there, and it'll be well worth your time because he's a very awesome dude, and it's a very, very fun thing to catch up on. Also, don't forget IndiePlanet.com for my good buddy Daniel and his comic book Psychonauts Presents, especially number two, which features art from me. I'm going to always keep pushing it until you go buy it. It's too late to get it as a Christmas gift for anyone, even yourself, but it's not too late to make a New Year resolution to support small businesses, small press, and independent comics. So that's the perfect time to buy it. Other than that, just heard from Jim Ousley a couple days ago about Butcher Queen, and let him know my thoughts on that, how great the book is right now. It's getting better each issue from the writing and the art standpoint, so rush out to your local comic shop and tell them Butcher Queen is something that you must have. Add it to your pull list, and then maybe go to Red 5 Comics and reach out and find the back issues or the trade paperbacks and whatnot. Other than that, we don't talk about it because I run out of time, again, due to my pain tolerance. But this year's in the year with bad beer, maybe in jeopardy due to COVID to Nerdcast J, and then due to the COVID lockdown of the Silver Badger. We'll see. We'll work on something. So just stay tuned for that. Enough blabbering. So now I'm going to start the episode. Again, this episode is the return, and I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. 2020's best guest, Mr. Matt F. Basler. And when you hear the bomb, you will hear the episode right now.
And this time, I have returning guest just under the gun before the end of the year, Mr. Matt F. Basler.
Hello.
For those, if you don't know yet, if you're listening to this, this is kind of a unofficial sequel podcast to one that was recorded on your podcast a couple of nights ago and was released Sunday, I believe.
Yes, correct.
Being the Matt F. Basler podcast, where we talked about The Mandalorian and Star Wars, and I got to think that between now and then, you've probably brushed up and now are a complete expert on the subject.
Yeah, right. No, for my podcast, I certainly had definitely seen everything. I would have never just claimed to have seen it all in order to capitalize on a pop culture phenomenon. But you know, I can be a little loose on my show. Before I came on the Pop Culture Bombcast, I wanted to brush up. So between Sunday, yesterday, and now, I've watched all of the Star Wars movies, a lot of the side content, just to brush up,
that's the kind of dedication that we require out of our guests. So that said, I really wanted to have you on right now because as we get close to the end of the year, I think the NFL playoff picture's coming into focus, and I want to know your thoughts on that.
Well, tell me what it is again.
I know you're a big fan of the sports ball, so I just wanted to get your take on that. Right?
What's the NFL What is it?
The playoff picture. That's not why you're here.
They all get together and take a big picture.
Yes, that is exactly what they do right now.
I think that's a great thing. I think that shows
it's camaraderie.
Good sportsmanship.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's very cute.
But this is the second time you've come on this podcast, and the last time we had you on was for a very specific reason, and that was to promote the craziness or lunacy of playing a song 20 times in a row in front of a whole bunch of people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when I say lunacy, I mean the fact that you could talk someone into doing this with you.
A lot of people. Yeah. Six people, five people, something like
and,
that.
And you accomplished it for those that don't
know.
Oh, you did it. There's no 20, I guess, because of this year, you didn't get to do the 21st anniversary. There's no 22, right? You're capping it at 20.
We played it 22 times.
That's right. You had encores.
We did an encore. Let's just say maybe we're not done.
Okay. That's a great tease. But other than that, in the year and a half since you've been on, which I apologize, it's been that long. You've been kicking out your own podcast. You've still been your posse still in effect on that project.
Yeah.
You've been covering some very, very epic country songs,
right,
in multiple styles and versions of it. And,
yeah.
So what else has happened in the time frame since we last talked to you?
Let's see. Well, right. So I'm covering I did a cover of a country song, Read Me My Rights. Maybe calling it a country song is a possibly misleading. It's a very specific type of country song.
Yeah.
I think some people call it perhaps bro country. right now what I'm working on is, so that's what I do on TikTok. I just do that song over and over again. The original version got taken down. So I started to do covers of it. And that got kind of popular. So I recorded a full version. I made a video for it. And people have asked. So I've done other versions too, right? Like there's a ska version.
Right.
There's a version that sounds like Smells Like Teen Spirit. It's like a sort of like a classic country sounded one. So people have been like, oh, you're going to record full versions of those too, because they're like 15 second clips. That is kind of funny to me. That seems like a funny thing to put out an album of all one song. But the direction I've decided to go, what I'm working on right now, is the version that got sort of a little bit of attention was like a synth version. And I'm currently working on an album of synth covers of tough guy bro country songs. So I just finished up.
The catalog is deep.
What's that?
The good news is the catalog of songs that you can pick from is deep.
Oh, yeah. I just finished recording Justin Moore's I Could Kick Your Ass. the one I'm in the middle of working on right now is Whoop a Man's Ass. That's a Trace Adkins song.
A lot of fighting and asses in these.
Well,
songs.
I wanted to call the album. I don't know what I'll call it. It's pretty early. I mean, it could be a while before it even comes out. But I wanted to call it "Songs About Men's Asses." But I don't know if, I mean, the content might have to branch out enough that won't be an appropriate title. But I do want to find something equally as homoerotic.
Because if there's a genre that deserves it.
I think that I'm just trying to bridge some. I think there's a culture gap there, and that's something that I would like to. I don't know if you've seen the video, but
I have.
Okay, well then, I got these little gold shorts. It's I think it could be an eye-opening experience for some people.
If they don't know you, or they go into it cold. There's some shock value to it. Yeah.
Well, like all the people that heard, Johnny Cash cover Hurt. I'm sure that made some crossover both ways, right? Some country fans got into like Nine Inch Nails and like industrial music, and those kind of fans got into country.
So you're just like bridging a gap.
100%.
Yeah, yes. That makes sense. And you do still have your podcast, which goes through many face different changes.
Oh yeah. No, we're pinning it down still. Not long ago we were.
You're still trying to find your face, your image. That's what mm-hmm.
it is. Just feeling it out as we go. We were a scary story podcast maybe 3 or 4 episodes ago. Most recently we were a Star Wars Mandalorian podcast.
I believe you called it the Matt DeLorean podcast.
Yeah, Matt DeLorean F. Bosler's podcast.
Yeah.
You know, I mean it's just things a lot of things change over time. My podcast just changes a little quicker usually every episode. I completely change the format.
Well, you're flexible if anything. That's mm-hmm. what it is. Yeah. Well, so we had a good time, and like I told you that Missy, she had a
Where's Missy? What's the deal?
She you know what? She couldn't do 2 Star Wars podcasts in a row.
I understand.
And she said in that one she could do because there were the levity and of that one. She was cracking up. We didn't have the camera going and recording for yours, but she was having a hard time fighting back laughter because, like I said, Missy loves the bit. Like, she buys in 100%. Your Fast and the Furious, or, well, spoiler alert, your your top 7 greatest movie quotes, she cracked up. I don't even know if she listened to what you were saying because she was just laughing every time you did another movie.
I love it. Quote.
So she buys in. But so for that, though, we had a very specific thing that we were doing. On this one, though, you had asked, like, let's do a serious breakdown of The Mandalorian.
I'm in. I'm all in.
And I didn't necessarily want to do, like, a I think we did a better job on your episode, honestly, of doing, like, a beat-for-beat recap of what the episode was.
Yeah.
But I do want to just kind of break down the episode. First off, in a different – let me start here. I think that this thing from Jon Favreau and Filoni is probably the most universally accepted Star Wars thing ever made. Like, outside of the original, like, everyone is in love with it.
I would say, I mean, in a way, though, right? Like, I think people are less maybe divided isn't the word. Have a more narrow, like, their opinions don't differ as much on this as they do on the original trilogy, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I kind of wanted to start with that. Like, I wanted to ask you, like, are we as Star Wars fans, which I classify myself as a massive comic book fan and a pretty big science fiction fan. And that puts me in the genre of loving Star Wars. I love all science fiction. I wouldn't say that I'm I can't tell you every single aspect of Star Wars. Like, I have some friends that read the books, the comics and everything, but if it's on film, I have a pretty good knowledge of it. But are we as Star Wars fans wanting something to be great, especially in the post purchase of Disney, mm-hmm. that this really is that great? Or is it just that we want it to be so great is why we're so accepting of it as fans?
I mean, it didn't work out that way for the sequel trilogy.
Yeah. And that had great people in charge of it, in theory, right out of the gate.
Yeah. I think the thing that those movies did for me the most was go, I like these actors. I would love to see them in something good. Is Oscar Isaac, right?
Yeah, Oscar Isaac.
Yep. Poe. This guy is great. I feel like everything they have him do in these movies is not that cool, you know, or whatever. And it's the same for all of them. Finn and
Adam Ray. Driver was great actor, very well celebrated actor.
Marriage Story was incredible, and I think what they're doing in Star Wars, they're being very like charismatic and magnetic people, but I don't know. I just don't like them that much. They're not like. I thought all of those movies were enjoyable to watch. Like, while you're watching them, you're going along with it. It's cool. You're having fun. And then, like, kind of as soon as you get like a day away from it, or for one, it's kind of gone already. It doesn't stick with you. And it's just, you start to do the thing of like, why did they even go to that casino place? What was that? Like, what was happening?
You nailed it. That's the most, of those three films, that's the most thing that gets targeted by the fans, is this whole part of the movie didn't need to happen.
Right. And so to me, like, The Mandalorian, it is interesting in a way, because I don't think it's like, I was going to say, I don't think it's great, but like, I guess also, like, what do you want out of it? Right. Like, doesn't have to be like this life-changing thing to be great. I think it's doing exactly what it wants to do. Right.
Well, I think that they managed in two seasons now to tell a very, a very small story in a very grand way, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. Like in the films, that's a very big story, and they pack it full of characters and stuff. And we'll get to characters here in a little bit in this season. But one of the things that made it very good in it accomplished something that's pretty difficult. It was very good, especially through season one. Season two kind of changed it up a little bit. But in season one, you very much had two main characters that don't have a lot of talking and a lot of lines or a lot of expression, but you really fell in love with the two characters. That's tough to do. Mm-hmm. And I credit Favreau for that.
Yeah, I think it's structured. An interesting thing I feel like I'm seeing is like, you know, a lot of like adults are liking this show a lot. And I think it's people that would be surprised to find out that it's structured very much like good cartoon shows.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, and I know that that's, you know, I understand that watching animation or stuff that's marketed more towards kids can be a gap that, for people to cross. It's, you know, right. But like Justice League Unlimited, or like there was a Green Lantern cartoon that was really good. I can't remember. I'm sure it had like a subtitle or something. Avatar, you know, The Last Airbender, like all of these are as good as The Mandalorian. I think Avatar's, I mean, it had a longer run. It had more time to do what it's doing, right. But I think it's a better, maybe better than The Mandalorian, or at least more ambitious so far. So I think there's a lot of like adults that are surprised by this show, but that maybe would, because I'm watching it going like, yeah, this is pretty standard stories that get told in good series.
That could be why it is successful too. I mean, Favreau and Filoni had they had the benefit of stepping back and watching, not necessarily say people fail, because, and I don't want to poop on everything Disney did because Rogue One to me is a very good movie.
I liked Rogue One.
Is underrated to me.
I liked Solo. I think it's got more problems than maybe Rogue One, or it definitely has problems. Yeah. But man, honestly, if you took out all the like eye rolly, you know, this is how Han Solo got his famous haircut.
Yeah.
I would like it a lot more. It's one of those things where, like, if it wasn't called Han Solo, it was just about some dude in a space movie, I think it would have been received a lot better.
I think so. I don't think that Han Solo necessarily needed an origin story that they did, at least a formulaic origin story. We didn't need that. But I did want to, well, anyway, back to Favreau, they had the, they had the ability to sit back and watch where some of the stuff went wrong. Even when it was right, there were some things that, you know, you could have fixed, and they kind of took that. And like you said, I think they intentionally are telling the most simple story possible. I think one of the things they did good this season is, especially at the beginning, it felt like he was trying to tell a different style of story with each episode. Like the first episode was a Western. Mm-hmm. The second one, it was a scary movie. It was like a Ridley Scott version of Star Wars with spiders. And then you had a pirate movie, you know, episode. I thought that was ingenious. We'll get to the highlights of it, especially the final episode. I do want to stress to people that I absolutely do love Mandalorian. I loved it a lot. It was must-watch TV on Fridays, I have the luxury of not having another person in the house that really cares about it. So I had to wait for no one. I could wake up Friday, start my day with work, and turn it on. But I want to kind of talk about some of the things that I didn't love so much about the show before we talk about the highlights of the last episode. And I kind of hinted at it on your show. I think, and this is not because of anything politically she said or Twitter she said, but I think the more time given to Gina Carano, the less appealing that character is on the screen.
Yeah, right. She's, man. When she, yeah. I thought she was going to be in one episode, it was definitely easier to take. She's not great.
She's been in movies. She's been in enough movies. But if you like go and watch her in Deadpool, and then watch her it's pretty much the same delivery. And then she was in a movie called Haywire, same delivery. She doesn't, and I don't blame her for not being able to act, but you are now an actor. So, and it, again, the internet's hating her for a lot more reasons that, you know, because she has an opinion. I don't care if you agree or don't agree, but she has an opinion. And I would rather the internet be critical of her for her acting than her personal stuff that has nothing to do with Star Wars.
Well, I think I do think it's one of those things, you know, if Carl Esposito, what's the guy? I can't think of his name. Gus Fring from Breaking Bad. Bad guy.
In Breaking Bad, the main character you're talking about?
The bad guy. Giancarlo Esposito? Is that
his name? Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
I feel like if he put out a touchy opinion, people would be a lot more like, yeah, but he's really good.
So, he's really great at everything.
I'm just maybe let this one go on by.
Yeah.
I think it's, well, and especially for a TV show, a fun action-y TV show, she is kind of surrounded by people who are very good, which is not always is the case, right? So I think definitely kind of shines a light on that maybe in other TV series wouldn't happen.
Yeah, and you speaking of people that are around her, one of the other things that I can't even believe I'm saying this for how much of a fan I am of Pedro Pascal and everything he's done, whether it was from Kingsman to Game of Thrones, everything. I'm excited about the Shark Girl and Lava Boy Netflix show that he's going to be in. I love Pedro Pascal. There were some at the beginning of this season before it aired, when they were still filming it, there were some rumblings that he was leaving the show or thinking of leaving the show because he wasn't out of helmet enough. And I'll be honest with you, when he wasn't wearing his helmet, it was, with the exception of the final scene, spoiler alert, by the way, people, with the exception of this final scene, when he took his helmet off, I kind of, it hurt the mystique of the Mandalorian a little bit for me.
Now I've read more recently that he says that's not the case.
Yeah.
And who knows?
And in fact, as of today, he just re-signed for season 3.
You know, who knows how that stuff goes.
Yeah.
Did he say that? And then Disney was like, dude, what are you, can't say this. Here's money. Don't say
here's
that.
An extra bucket or two.
and then he goes out there. That's crazy. I never said that. But it's got to be, I would think, a fairly easy gig for him. I wonder how much he's on set at all, you know, with the helmet.
Yeah. And with, because clearly, you know, movie magic, he's not doing all the stunts. So I do wonder about that. But I guess for all intents and purposes, so he's the star of the show. So you assume that, you know, I don't know. I do think that they probably, and I honestly don't believe it had anything to do with whether he did bitch about the mask or not bitch about the mask, but I do feel like him taking the mask off twice this season bodes well for them next season in terms of keeping him.
Yeah,
And he is a great actor. He should be allowed to act. I mean, going back, pulling out all the geek stops here, going back to the original Spider-Man are with Willem Dafoe. You had Willem Dafoe in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, and you put him in a helmet that showed none of his facial expressions, which Willem Dafoe is known for. So.
Yeah. And he already looks like a goblin.
Yeah, he has like, the most Green Goblin face ever. So
I guess, like, I do think thematically for the show, though, him being out of the helmet, you know, there's movies that like Judge Dredd. There's never, you don't want Judge Dredd to become more human over time. Right. So him being out of the helmet does ruin story-wise parts of it, like the Stallone one.
Now, did you see the Carl Urban one?
Right, exactly, right.
Which is a great film. A great comic book adaptation. I loved it. Yeah.
And so I think for The Mandalorian, with the way they're going, you know, he's sort of like becoming, I don't want to say more human. I mean, the Mandalorians are, well, they're not human, but you...
I know what you mean.
But you know, he's sort of... He's sort of, right, turning away from that strict creed. So at least thematically, him being out of the helmet, I think, will make more and more sense. And it, you know, real world stuff won't be so distracting. Like when Stallone's out of the Judge Dredd helmet, you're like, well, yeah, this is all Stallone said. I'm not going to be out of this helmet. That's my Stallone impression. Hey, and come on. What are you?
Just nailed it.
Thanks.
And they did do a good job of giving us Bo-Katan and the other Mandalorians who weren't as strict at the helmet. Almost like they gave us the idea that being Mandalorian is a religion, and there's some religion that are a little more strict and some that are a little less strict. And
he's
coming around.
And I think that is a really cool, because you don't get to see that a lot, you know, in fictional worlds. The world building of it, you don't have a lot of opportunities to say, here's this religion, okay, but now here's the subsects of that religion. It's like, we can't get into that. We need to build this whole thing. And, you know, this is the Jedi, this is the Sith. There's no, you can't mess that up. And I know there are people that are kind of saying that's... they're breaking the canon, or that's a plot hole from this episode of Clone Wars or whatever. But I think it's really interesting because it's, you know, it sort of like changes the way you're thinking. You're watching this, hearing Pedro Pascal's character say, this is the way Mandalorians are. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. Hell yeah. And then you meet other Mandalorians. They're like, well, but it's also like this. And there's sort of a neat moment for you where you're like, oh, I just bought in to the whole thing because this is what this guy said. You know, it's kind of like a neat, like, real life lesson of like, oh yeah, maybe I shouldn't just accept the very first thing I hear.
it's sci-fi's way of telling us, hey, quit being so overly invested or so mm-hmm. rigid in your beliefs, because it is a very fluid thing. And we will, we're going to get into some other Star Wars things, because I did want to bring up with Disney to its shareholder meetings last week, where we're going from Star Wars. And one of the things I want to just ponder as to where they're going to go, even on The Mandalorian here in a little bit. But I don't want to dwell too much on the negative, because as I said, you know, on this show, we give a 5 out of 5 if something's great. And this show is 5 out of 5 for me.
We get it. You hated it. It's fine.
Well, now I want to get to the highlights, especially of the final episode and this whole second season. And the first thing I think that they did right in this season is they redeemed Boba Fett for mainstream fans of movies,
mm-hmm.
not the hardcore fan, because the hardcore fan knew how he got out of the Sarlacc pit. They knew how badass he was. But everyone that wasn't a Star Wars fan per se, but was a fan of movies, were like, well, he's kind of lame. He didn't do anything.
Oh, he sucks in the movies. I mean,
awful.
What we see of him, if he's not standing around looking cool, he's getting his ass kicked. Like, that's
inadvertently too. It wasn't like he got his ass kicked by someone who
was
accidentally
blind?
Hit him. Yeah, and accidentally hit him. So they did the best job of redeeming that character and, mm-hmm. and finally letting people know that he was a badass. And in fact, that took me to my second great thing about this season, even the final episode. I made the comment on this because we've been kind of following along with each episode each week on the show, that one of the criticisms I had, and they really took that away from me in this one, is they were telling a lot of stories on sand planets in very small sets. And it was like they added They added us a water set, episode. They added us an ice episode. They added a city episode. So they expanded the world of The Mandalorian, not Star Wars, but the world The Mandalorian existed in pretty good. But the other thing they did for a small scale show, this was some of the best sci-fi action that you've seen on TV. Like the action was incredibly good.
I definitely think the action is big. Mm-hmm. I do have some real problems with the shootout specifically.
Yeah, which we mentioned on your show.
I did. And in that case, it was a true criticism. I have this problem with shootouts in a lot of movies. I know this is like a common problem with Star Wars, that stormtroopers can't shoot anything. And I get that, like, you can't, it's very hard, especially when you can see the bullets, right? Like, right. In regular action movies, you're at least have the you can't see laser bolts. So you got to show how they're missing and how bad. But this show, I think they do their best, but there are times when there's just a dude hanging off screen, not doing anything.
Yeah.
And then he runs in and it's just getting like, and like how good of shots the good guys are. I think even like the original Star Wars that does have that same problem, they've done a little bit better job of like hiding it, probably because there's less of it, right? The Mandalorian, there's a pretty big shootout most episodes.
Right.
But man, it's just getting hard to be like, they wouldn't even have to aim. The good guys are grouped in a big ball. All they'd have to do is just sort of spray laser bolts around.
Well, since you mentioned it, I really have been focusing on it too. It's on your episode, on your show. One of the problems there is too, is almost every time a sword, not every time, but quite a bit, a stormtrooper will run up and say, "Hey, freeze."
Yeah.
And then get shot.
Right.
And these are supposed to be the bad guy. They should be the shoot first, ask questions.
Yes. all the time. I mean, like, everybody, all their friends are dying. And they're like, let's give them a chance to explain themselves.
Yeah, maybe. Let's still take prisoners.
I mean, I guess if you wanted to sort of like, headcanon your way out of it, maybe it's like, they want to question them and see what their plan was or see whatever. But yeah,
that's a lot of disbelief to swallow, is that everyone's got enough info that they need to interrogate.
Yeah. I think the hand to hand stuff is usually pretty fun. And even that, I mean, you can always tell in action movies, right, that it's like, well, the other guy's just not really swinging around as much. But I don't know. Maybe I'm focusing on it too much. I know you have to sort of.
The weird thing, though, with Star Wars is more than anything we can think of, it's always been there. Like,
yeah. And in this case, like I said, it's not even that the stormtroopers miss all the time. They're just not shooting.
Yeah. Well, for instance, when and it was a great scene and I loved it and I bought in. But after you mentioned that, I really got focused on it. The first time we see Boba Fett, not in his suit yet, kick all their asses with a staff.
Yeah.
It's 15, 16 stormtroopers with guns and explosives, and he beats them up with a staff because they just won't shoot him.
Yeah. He's not going to run over here, is he? Oh, no, he did.
But still. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, and kind of this, I think maybe I'm putting more criticism on it because it's a live action show, but it's very like cartoon show vibe, and
it's,
I like
Cobra
that.
Versus G.I. Joe.
Yeah, right. And at least bad guys get shot in this, they're not like shooting down awnings to fall on them. Have you watched the Clone Wars and Rebels? And
so because of the addition to them on Disney Plus, I've started them now. I didn't catch them the first run through, but when The Mandalorian, right after I finished season one, it was over. I started watching them, and I've gotten sidetracked here and there. And which one? I think it's Rebels that I like better than the initial Clone Wars. But I hear the final season of Clone Wars is amazing. So I'm catching up now.
Right. And for, now I haven't seen any of them. Kind of the same reason I didn't have like a convenient way to watch them for a long time. But I understand, right, the Clone Wars, like a lot of kids shows or shows for directed mainly at kids, they start out very like more geared to kids. And then it's like season two, season three, season four, we start going like,
As you find your audience and who's
I give you big
props for bringing this up earlier, but you brought up a cartoon, which I think is vastly underrated. In fact, I'll tell people this. The greatest cartoon ever made, in my opinion, is Batman the Animated Series.
That's wonderful.
But you brought up Justice League Unlimited, which was a very, very good cartoon. And it was, again, it when it started and it spun out of another Justice League cartoon, it was the original one was very a lot more cookie cutter and a lot more cut and dry. And by the time we got to Unlimited, they started really telling good character driven stories, especially with like Hawk Girl and stuff. It was like the toys became more collectible for adults. The cartoon started, the box sets were selling. It was like, our target demographic is actually 18 to 35 and not 6
right.
to 12.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Young Justice was like that.
Yeah.
I really think The Mandalorian just could have been another Filoni cartoon and changed very little. Maybe not. Like I said, I haven't seen those cartoons yet, but I get the feeling people definitely die in them. You know, it's not a super young kid show. And it would be cool if
these are very, even when at the purest level, when Star Wars is appealing to kids, it's very high concept, even in a cartoon, you know, adult concepts.
And that's, that's what I'm saying too. I wish it would be cool if this opened the door for more adults to become invested in animation. Like I'm sure some people will see The Mandalorian, hear that there's cartoons connected to this, watch that and maybe get into animation more. Cause even things like, like Miyazaki movies, people won't watch those because they're animated, which is just a cultural thing. Like I said, I don't blame people for that. I know why that is, but it would be cool if it got more people into some animated stuff now, and maybe we got some more bigger budget adult animations in.
There's been blips of great adult animation in America here and there. Heavy Metal when it was out, and Wizards when it was out. Yep. But not enough of them. I'll tell you this. Spinning back into the other highlights of the episode.
Yeah, to get out of here before I start talking about Fritz the Cat.
That's great stuff. In fact, you can come back on later and we will take a deep dive into that stuff.
Okay.
Because I'm a comic book fan first, and that's all comic book world, and that makes me very excited.
Yeah.
But the other, there's two massive things that stuck out in this episode in terms of what people are super excited about. One of them is the second redemption, I think, of sorts for a character. And that was, and again, people, we're spoiling this, so tough noogies. Everybody in the world have seen this already. So, Luke showing up in a Luke. And as soon as that X-Wing fighter flew in, I knew who it was. And that's okay. It didn't ruin it for me. And of course, when you've seen the green saber pop out, but what I liked, and going back to Rogue One, is Rogue One gave us a really, at the very end of Rogue One, it gave us an incredibly menacing Vader when he's in that hallway beating and throwing people around. Well, and as soon as as Luke was fighting through this, the entire geek, inner geek of me, it's a very outer geek too, but every bit of the geek in me was getting excited because I knew in order to get into the room to them, he was going to go through that hallway. And I was thinking, I told Missy, I go, they're going to copy the Rogue One shot with Luke instead of Vader. And that got me so excited.
Yeah. It's like a poem. It rhymes or whatever. Is that what George Lucas says? Right.
Yeah, that's right.
I know a lot of people hate, which one is it? Rise of Skywalker. Last Jedi,
the second.
Rian Johnson.
Yeah.
What he did with Luke. And I get, I get that on the level of like, it would have been cool to see Luke do cool stuff. I feel like I kind of liked it. I was on board, but I was on board with The Last Jedi until Rise of Skywalker, right? Like,
okay.
Because you're kind of like on this, what's the first one now?
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens. You get all these questions, right? And then second one.
Last Jedi. Last Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah. Number two, last. Yeah, right.
Yes.
they sort of like, I don't know. I kind of liked pulling the rug out on some of that stuff. Like, I really liked the idea that Rey's parents were nobodies. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
I kind of liked the idea of like Luke is bumming and all this. But then when they pull the rug out on everything again for Rise of Skywalker, then it's like, well, I can't do this again. Yeah. Like, get me out of here.
Well, the disconnect between Rian Johnson and J.J. Abrams was like,
right,
arguably as bad as any sequels that they've met.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so, right. Like I didn't hate what they did with Luke, but I totally understand. Like, it would have been cool to see him like do something cool, like one more time, I guess. You
know, and technically I think that was probably what Rian Johnson was going for. He did do something cool. He bought him time and he did something that we've never seen. He projected himself across the galaxy. And that was, on paper, that probably looks better. Yeah. But on paper, that looked better than it actually played out.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, he whips some ass and it was awesome.
And even in like, as far as like, there's things that drive me nuts. I don't mind like fan service stuff.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, so you've got like different kinds, right? There's like background fan service, like, oh, look, that's the ball from that movie in the back of that movie or whatever.
Yeah.
But Rogue One is a standalone movie. I think that Darth Vader hallway thing is for us very cool, right? Like, we loved it. I loved it.
Yeah.
But as a movie, as a standalone movie, that makes no sense. I don't know who that guy is, right? I feel like movies should stand on their own that aren't like part of a, I know that's part of a series, but
I get what you're saying. And that was the key spot to bridge it to episode one.
So fan servicey to me that like Darth Vader comes in and does this cool thing and you're like, well, that's Darth Vader. I think in The Mandalorian, Luke showing up is very fan servicey, but then also fits in the story. We know that Grogu called this Jedi,
right?
So this guy showing up, he could, to someone who's not familiar with Star Wars, he could be a new character. This could be how they just introduced a new character, and I don't think it would be much different, right?
No, and they also, if it, you know, going by that logic, if it was an introduction of a character that was previously unknown, you instantly get the impact of how powerful he is because of the
right. Totally. I know that he's associated with the Rebels. You know, he's driving
an X-Wing.
Flying an X-Wing.
Yeah.
I'm getting this idea. I've seen Ahsoka now, who I know is a Jedi. He seems to be much more powerful than her.
Yeah.
So I just think like they're doing a better job even of like fan service stuff for people who aren't, they're doing it for both sides instead of like the Rogue One thing that I felt was just more like for fans.
Yeah.
But also held such a big part that it may have been confusing. I've heard people talk about Ahsoka showing up and the other Mandalorians and talking like, oh, people are going to be confused that didn't see the Clone Wars and Rebels. And I think Ahsoka showed up just the same way that all of these other one shot characters have appeared. And they're doing a good job very quickly letting you know who these people are and what they're all about.
Did you like this season felt very different than the first season? And the first season did give us some introduction to some characters because it was setting up a brand new world for us, or the Mandalore, the brand new world inside of a bigger world we know. This season, though, felt that they really ramped up the guest appearances and the new characters. And there is speaking of fan service, there is that's a very, very narrow tightrope to walk, because you could get in danger of messing it up. And I don't think they did. I don't think they messed it up at all. But when you're introducing new character every episode almost, and the characters are very, for the ones that love this world, massively impactful. You could drop a ball pretty easy. And I think they dodged dropping the ball on this.
Yeah. I mean, I would say in like the first season the overarching story was less important, right? It was more situation of the week.
Yeah. Yeah.
More than it was this time. I felt like all of these, characters that are already in the universe really felt exactly the same as this is the way guy. I don't remember his name. You know what I'm talking about? Wasn't that the guy? This is the way? The guy that kept saying that?
Which one?
In the first season, maybe like second episode.
Yeah, the other Mandalorian that was in it.
Oh, wait. No. Hold on. He's not. No, that's not the thing he said. He's the guy. He's played by a guy whose name I can't remember. Also, he didn't say this is the way. What did he say? Well, this is terrible. This is the worst.
Had you nailed it, it would have made it have been a great.
Wouldn't it have been great? He goes to the planet and he's got to fix the thing, I guess. And then the guy is like, "You got to go get an egg or something."
Oh, that guy. Yeah, who was that? The old guy.
The old guy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a CG character, but the character that played him was a big guy. Okay, yeah, I'm blanking.
He's the guy. He's the guy. Everybody knows him. Everyone that's listening right now is going, "It's the guy." It's the
Steve. Yeah, yeah. I absolutely have fans of the show or friends that listen.
Gary Busey?
That is exactly who it was. No, Nick Nolte. Or was it Gary Busey?
It's one of those guys.
They're interchangeable, so it's okay.
I think Nick Nolte sounds right. But, you know, I think all of these, like Ahsoka, were introduced the same way he was. The same sort of like, oh, this is just our adventure today. This is the planet we're going to go to and meet this person. So anybody who wasn't familiar with those people weren't going to be like thrown off. You know, you didn't, because in the story, you didn't need to know anything about Bo-Katan or Ahsoka to understand their role in this story right now.
And she had lightsabers, so people, even casual fans of Star Wars, knew what she was.
Yeah.
I mean, and you get this, they do a very good job of setting the stakes of every character. So you knew what she was capable of and how cool she could have been. Let's get to the finish up on the episode two. The other thing, well, and we did touch on the Dark Troopers, which I thought was a very good new character. I hope that they're not all dead, because they seem to have all been wiped out by Luke relatively quickly.
Have one, right?
Yeah. Because they're very powerful. I mean, and they're a callback to the Rebels or Clone Wars as well.
Yeah.
But the other thing, finally a post-credit scene, and I'm so conditioned by Marvel and Disney to always stay through all the credits. I've done that on every single episode.
Oh, wow.
But I've enjoyed, and there's been some Easter eggs, I've enjoyed the concept art.
That sounds cool, yeah.
And then there, you know, I read that there was like Poe shows up in a couple of the concept arts and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's some good Easter eggs in some of the concept art, which is awesome. But this finally gave us a post-credit scene, and it sets up what's going to be another spinoff, The Book of Boba Fett, and which could be an awesome story, too. I mean, it could be an awesome theme, you know, the underworld and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But... It was just for me as a kid who, you know, I was born in 77. So, you know, I was born and Star Wars was out, and I barely remember Empire. I don't remember it in a theater, but I do remember watching it on Laserdisc and then VHS. Yeah. And but Return of the Jedi, I remember going to the theater two or three times to watch Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
So seeing Boba's, go back to Boba's palace, or I'm sorry, Jabba's palace again. That was a very good callback to my childhood, and I enjoyed the hell out of that. Very brief. I thought it was a very well done, and what a good way to. And I mentioned on your show, was very Conan like how he sat on the throne.
Yeah, and right. Oh, I think I lost you. I lost your audio.
All right, I just had I had a warning that I was muted there on my phone or my computer, but we're good. Anyway, yeah, that was great. I thought it was great. You brought up on your episode, you bring in another longtime character from, you know, the previous films, only to get him smoked in one scene.
Yeah. Right,
and I also, that's the other question I was going to bring up about the show too. In addition to like that, so we're left with the episode's done. We know we have the spinoff with Boba Fett. We know that Grogu, who we haven't even really mentioned this entire time, is now in Luke's care. Speaking of plot holes, this creates a big, massive plot hole that they've got to fix, because we know where the story's going. Mm-hmm. And we know in episode 7, 8, 9, which would be Force Awakens, Last Jedi, he's not there. Is it a good or bad thing that Grogu's been removed? And do we believe that he's going to be back next season? Because that the lone wolf and cub feel is what makes the show great.
I think truly there's no way he's not coming back. He has to come back. It's the whole, I mean, as much as they're telling stories and telling the stories they want to tell, that Baby Yoda, that's their freaking golden goose, man. Yeah. Like they can't give that up. I don't think they should anyway. Like you said, like that's kind of the whole theme, the whole story. I think it would kind of be weird to go, okay, now we're doing not just a kind of a different thing, but a completely different vibe altogether. They have to, he'll be back.
Yeah. It is going to be interesting to see where they take it, because, you know, the dynamic was as big a part of the show as the characters themselves separately was Matt, you know, and that he did something that the Ewoks were not able to do. He made diehard fans happy. He made casual fans happy.
Yeah. The porgs walked so Grogu could run.
That's right. That's right. So creates a big hole for this show. And like I said, in the greater scheme of things, it creates a big plot hole that they have to fix. And it'll be interesting to see where that goes. And then you have, you know, the Boba Fett thing, which is going to be exciting. And
right,
that kind of, you know, I told you we were going to talk a little bit about some other Star Wars. And I typed up everything that was announced. And it's amazing how many things that are coming out in 2021 and beyond of Star Wars.
Yeah.
But that are also set in the Mandalorian timeline.
Right, right.
So we have plenty of opportunity to see where this is going and to fix, you know, the dangling plot threads.
And I mean, I guess there's at least, what, like 30, 40 years before the first one? I can't keep the name straight.
Before Force Awakens?
Yes, yeah.
No, I don't think it's that long.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it was. Well, we'll have to look it up. I don't want to raise the ire of everyone listening if I say, "Oh, I think it's only 15," and it turns out it's 25. You know, but it, you know, and we don't know how Yoda's age, so we don't even know in 40 years if he's still in hiding.
Sure.
It brings me to what I wanted to talk about with the 2021 and beyond, because a lot of these things will take, and I'll go down them pretty quick. We have Book of Boba Fett, which we know is officially happening. We have this is probably the one that excites me the most. We have an untitled Taika Waititi film.
Yeah.
Which, for those that don't know, and I'm sure if you're listening to my show, you do, What We Do in the Shadows and Thor Ragnarok. We have Patty Jenkins going into the Star Wars universe to do Rogue Squadron, which I'm excited about that too.
Mm-hmm.
Makes Rogue One no longer a standalone film.
Oh, is that right? I mean, are they like connected?
They were Rogue Squadron and Rogue One. So I mean, it's not necessarily that it will be. They're paying, you know, tribute to that group. So
okay, but yeah, so more connected than like Solo and Rogue One.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
Then we have Disney Plus's Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is the title, and that will see not only Ewan McGregor reprises the role of Ben, but Hayden Christensen will return as Vader. Which
That's
is,
wild.
Well, he's in a suit, so it's kind of hard to mess it up.
I feel like he's got to be out of it at some point, because it's not even his voice when he's in the suit.
I don't know. We'll see where maybe there's going to be flashbacks, which
right.
makes sense.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see. I think that's such a wild choice. It's almost like so crazy that I feel like they must have a good idea, because that's not to me, right? That doesn't read as fan service, because the fans don't like him widely, you know.
It's almost like the again, going back to what I mentioned a couple times, it's almost like they're trying to redeem him, you know.
Right. I mean, they even, you know, in the Mandalorian, they say something about the M count when they take the blood from
they said, they dropped one midichlorian on us.
Yeah, and it seems like they're doing a lot of like, let's try and fix the dumb stuff.
Let's not necessarily steer away from it, but let's just steer enough into it that it's canon, you know, and we can fix it. And I guess the Obi-Wan's going to take place post Clone Wars and the original trilogy, but pre New Hope. So it's going to bridge a lot of the story on how Ben, before he went to Tatooine and hermitized himself to watch over Luke. And then we got Ahsoka Tano, I just butchered her pronunciation, but Rosario Dawson will return. And this is going to be Jon Favreau and Filoni helming the project set in the Mandalorian timeline. I'm pretty excited for that, too.
Oh, yeah. I really liked her on the show. I think Rosario Dawson, actually, when we were talking about people being good actors or bad actors or whatever, I think she does a very good job. Like in Daredevil, I thought everybody was pretty good in Daredevil, but like Daredevil's very serious, but it is very stupid. Like the things that are happening are so like silly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And I feel like that must be a really difficult thing for actors to do, right? Like I have to be serious about this, but just out there silly thing to say out loud. And I feel like Rosario Dawson's role in a lot of those shows, because she was in, she's in all of them, right? Daredevil, she's in Iron Fist.
Yeah, she's in the Disney, or I'm sorry, in the Netflix universe. She was a part of all of those, yeah.
And a lot of her role seemed to be like, oh, so your skin is indestructible? Okay. so she's, you know, I think she's a very, an accomplished actress who can really handle that kind of stuff. That's very hard to do, and
it's a profession that tends to take itself very seriously, and sometimes they're asked to portray the silliest things. I get that. Like,
yeah,
I could see where that would be conflicting.
Watching her as a yellow lady with tentacle head is like totally I'm buying into it. And like, yeah, cool. This is all right.
The other thing that I'm excited about that too, and this is something I wanted to touch on. I'll bring it up now. I'm happy with what they're doing with Star Wars and all of this stuff. I'm going to watch all of this most likely. There's a big part of me though that I'm massively interested in what is going to happen post Skywalker. And one of the things with this series, I feel like they could tell a good Jedi story that has nothing to do with the Skywalkers. And I'm excited about that. And then next would be Rangers of the New Republic. Again, Favreau and Filoni are heading it, and it's going to be in the Mando timeline. They did the description of this and their take on to the shareholders was that with this story in particular and all of these Mando timeline stories are going to be building towards something really big, a one big send off, whether that's a film or one series that unites everything. And you're going to see that more in this. So, you know, very Disney Marvel way of doing things, you know, so that could be cool. Not much said about this next one other than it's Lando and Justin Simien of Dear White People is doing it. They don't even say that Donald Glover is going to be in for sure yet.
I mean, when you went to talk about the good things from Solo, that's certainly one of them.
I think I'm as a big, massive Dan Harmon fan my whole life in Community, and I became a big fan of Donald Glover and Childish Gambino. I think the world could always use more Donald Glover.
Yeah.
After that is Andor, which is this one's going to be exciting too.
That's wild. I was very surprised that's a thing or even a character that would get expanded on.
Yeah, which is Diego Luna, his character from Rogue One. He's back as Cassian Andor, and this is going to be. One thing I like about all of these is there's a very specific genre they're trying to tell with them. And this one's going to be a spy thriller, which I could see how they picked him because that was his send-off story in Rogue One. Sorry for that spoiler, people. He dies. But he was supposed to be the spy. So I think a spy story in the Star Wars universe could be very fun.
Yeah. And it is weird, you know, like Star Wars is so like, you get to see all these characters 100 times. Or I mean, even with the original trilogy, you got all these books and all these things and a book about the guy that was just hanging out at the bar.
Yeah.
And I thought Cassian was a really cool character. And I was kind of surprised that they were like, nah, we're just going to one movie. He's dead. And it just seemed weird for Star Wars to make somebody this cool and never use him again.
Absolutely,
yeah. And now here we are.
And it should be said, too, that Tony Gilroy, who did Rogue One, and Michael Clayton, that's the two, I mean, the big claim to fame. So it's in the guy that created him. So it's in good hands.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about where that's going.
And the robot's back, right? Did they say that for real? I didn't see that.
But that robot is played by, what's the actor's name?
He's the guy.
He's Wash from Serenity and all those things.
Maybe this is Gary Busey.
Yes, we'll just say Gary Busey.
Yeah.
Well, that takes us to the next one, which is The Acolyte, which is set in the final days of the High Republic. They're saying this is going to be a mystery thriller headed by Leslie Headland, who did Russian Doll, which was a very underrated show on Netflix.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. So I'm excited about that. Not much about the characters in that. And then finally, we are going to get another animated series called The Bad Batch, which is kind of a spinoff of Clone Wars and all that stuff. And then the other thing they tipped on was Star Wars Visions, which will be a series of shorts, which I'm a big fan of shorts. So I like that.
They're like anime, right? The style,
yes.
All
yeah.
of them? Are, yeah,
yeah,
that's cool. I'm excited.
Yeah, definitely anime influenced and different art styles.
Yeah.
And then a droid story, which is being developed, they said. Which will include R2 and C-3PO. So I guess the only question I have about all those things we listed, is there any fear of Star Wars overkill?
I know people talk about that a lot. And I don't, it just depends on if they're good or not. And I mean, in a lot of ways, right? Like Star Wars is just a setting. Like you can tell any story you want. So like, it doesn't, to me, in a sense, it doesn't matter that it's too much Star Wars. Like you said, one's a spy show. Okay, well then, if you just set it in Europe and they drove cars instead of X-Wings.
Yeah, absolutely.
You could just do that. Like, would it be good then? And if they're not good, you'll get the impression it's too much Star Wars. I mean, that's my take on it, because people say that about every time a Marvel movie comes out, right? They're like, oh, superhero fatigue. Everybody's got superhero fatigue. And then they make more money than ever. And they're like fun movies. Like, I'll go see superhero movies until they're bad, right? Like, I don't know.
If there's a stinker, I'll still go see the next one until it's a string of them. Yeah,
exactly. And I think that, you know, right, that's a instance of like, when they're not making money off of them and they put... Anyway, I don't know. I don't think you can oversaturate with...
Quality. As long as you're making quality, it's always going to be fine.
Right. I mean, in a sense, right? Like, The Mandalorian is a 40-minute show every week and there's whatever many episodes. So, I guess I'm just saying, like, you could break that down and say, like, oh, they just came out with 4 movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or whatever. Maybe it's a dumb thing, but
you mentioned world building earlier too about what they did. And well, for one, Marvel, all the Marvel movies, speaking of world building and diverse characters, I mean, there's over 8,000 Marvel characters that they've trademarked, that Marvel has trademarked now. So there's a wealth and a deep pool of characters you could draw from. And as much as we love Star Wars, and as much as there's been a great job of world building done around this universe, mm-hmm. When you step back and look, very little of it has been on screen.
Right.
Like, it's all been in books and comics and video games and everything. So if anything, there is a complete legitimate chance that it's too much. Who knows? But as long as they're making money and long as the stories are good, then like you said, it's going to be fine. The good news they have is because this is a big universe that they in concept, you can tell a story in a pocket of it and be very entertaining and not affect the overall story.
Right.
And that's why these can all be successful.
That's like, I mean, remember, there were like disaster movies were like a big thing for a while.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And, Twister. Volcano. Twister's a pretty good movie. And it was like a new thing and people went to see it. I don't think Twister's like a great movie, but it was an entertaining film. And like then people copied that, right? And then copied that again. And the quality of these disaster movies went down. And then I'm sure people said like, oh, people are sick of disaster movies. But like that's not the case.
Yeah.
One person made a good thing and then people tried to copy that. I mean, I think I'm not trying to do like a Marvel DC thing, but I do think DC tried to kind of copy what Marvel did.
I think the opposite to an extent. I think DC went wrong is they tried to tell their stories in such a different way than what Marvel did that it really, really ruined them. I think they were so scared of being copying Marvel that's what caused them. Just look at the Avengers. And look at Justice League. It's real simple. Most of the Marvel movies have taken place in daytime. And I think Warner Brothers was so scared of CG-ing daytime fights that they've tried to raise the stakes and they tried to make it all darker and more gritty.
They did it at red time.
Yes, yeah. Even one of the better ones, Wonder Woman. Very good movie. I enjoyed Wonder Woman.
Well,
the final fight, I hate. I hate the final fight.
That's what I've heard. It's actually interesting because I haven't seen Wonder Woman, I guess in a sense, because I did get like, quote, fatigued of watching Man of Steel to Batman vs. Superman to Justice League and just this like degrading quality. So I didn't not see Wonder Woman because I was tired of bad movies, right?
Yeah.
And it's like kind of what I'm saying about like the disaster movies. People didn't have disaster movie fatigue. They just weren't making good movies. So in my opinion, yeah, I don't think people necessarily like, I don't think you can have too much Star Wars as long as you're making good things. And you know, we'll see. I guess you could argue maybe they spread Favreau and Filoni too thin and the quality of these starts to drop. I do think, am I right that some of these are like limited series? They're just like one shot, six episode.
Absolutely. I think as it stands now, the only for sure reoccurring series is Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I think I got a really good feeling that Bad Batch being animated will probably go on for a few seasons.
I think
Boba Fett will. But a lot of them are called out like the Obi-Wan. And some of that is because you have massive movie stars that are playing these characters. So they're not going to...
I think Fett might die. I think it might be a one shot and it's his like send off.
I don't have a problem with that. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
And we also though, because of the way Boba Fett is, and they really hammered that point home in this, that he's a clone and he was gifted the armor and that he, you know,
is that, I'm sorry. Is that right? Is he a clone or is he,
yes.
I thought he had a real son.
No. If you remember back to Jango Fett, they had some clones that they couldn't, they could not put in the obedient gene into them, and they were more violent and disruptive. And the only payment he took from the Empire was to take one of the clones.
Wow, I know, I don't remember that at all. I shouldn't do this now, but why was he a kid still?
I guess I don't know. I guess they didn't explain. Maybe in the original batches, they raised him from childhood.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. What and what? Right. What a dumb question anyway. Because it's like, oh, they didn't give him the thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Oh, okay.
The aging gene, real fast.
Cool.
But you know, it's a pretty. Disney is not without its sin, and certainly here and there over the years. But if Disney's done anything right, it's create excitement around Marvel and Star Wars. I mean, mm-hmm. say what you want about the three films, and I certainly liked Force Awakens, and I was not in love with Rise of Skywalker. I certainly think that Last Jedi was the weakest of the three. But I was excited and went and saw them opening weekend.
I said, I liked watching all of them.
They're enjoyable experiences, even if you don't like them overall. So kudos to Disney. They've paid like $4 billion for the Star Wars franchise, and they've got their money back, which is insane.
Sure, yeah.
You know,
I think there's an interesting... I feel like Disney is sort of like moving us into the next or maybe even like realizing streaming content better now. And like what it can actually be. And I think even kind of the Netflix shows with like Defenders was sort of a step in this direction. And I think people that are concerned about this being too much, and again, like I could be wrong. I think it's sort of a misunderstanding of like, again, like streaming content. It's all different now, and I don't think anybody's necessarily like realized the full potential of that yet. That you can do like these one shot six episode things, or you can have these two shows running at the same time. I mean, people that like Star Wars watch these movies over and over. What if it was just a new thing instead? Like, you know why? I mean, the way TV shows run.
I was recently listening to an interview with Ron Howard on a podcast, and he was talking about how Imagine Entertainment, how they are getting into streaming this year. And he said, and they asked him, they flat out asked him, and said, do you think streaming services are kind of hurting movies? And he said, maybe in the pocketbooks, but he goes, but to be honest with you, as someone that loves creating and building.
Yeah.
He goes, I think that they've only aided. He goes, we're getting into a streaming series for the first time ever. And he goes, and the excitement for me to be able to tell a story of a character over 8 to 10 hours instead of an hour and a half or two is a very good, it excited him. So, yeah, I think.
Even with like the Mandalorian episodes being like, one's 40 minutes, one's 50 minutes, you know.
That's however long it needs to be to tell the story.
Yeah. I've seen streaming things come out that have, like, the commercial breaks.
Oh, you
know,
what
I mean?
Yeah.
There's not a real commercial there, but you can tell, like, oh, that's where the commercial would go.
Yeah.
So I think we're, like, even still, I mean, streaming has been around for a while, but a lot of the content that they're making is still based on traditional means. It's the same way, I think, when I was on here before, we talked about music and how people release music and that people release album length albums, but not because that's what makes sense for the content they're making or the music they want to put out. They just feel like, well, albums are 8 to 10 songs, so I need 8 to 10 songs.
Right.
And I think people are getting better about that too. I just think this is kind of, yeah, that a first like big step toward, or the next big step, I guess, toward like really fully understanding streaming content and how it can present these things in a different and in a neat way. I'm a big believer that things change and you got to move with them you'll just stagnate. And it's fine to like enjoy the past and be nostalgic for that, for vinyl, whatever, you know, and then maybe it'll come back around again later. I don't know what I'm even talking about anymore.
Well, I tell you this, Liz, I typically have a throw it to Missy segment, which, you know, the conceit of that segment is that Missy never brings anything to the table. So we always let her give us some quick hits. I would normally do that. And I even had things typed out for you, but I am a giant baby right now. And my mouth is still killing me from my surgery.
So that's right.
So I'm going to have to wrap it up, but I do want, you know, we are, as this comes out, it will be the day before Christmas Eve is when I'm going to release this. Or I think Christmas Eve's on Thursday. So I'm going to release this Wednesday. And what in the Matt F. Basler household, what's Christmas going to look like this year in under the COVID rules?
Oh gosh. It's going to look like a Friday, I guess, basically. Yeah. Nothing crazy. I think we're dropping presents off. We're not going to do the in-house stuff. We're being pretty, I think especially, I mean, not to be overly optimistic, but I feel like we can see the finish line from here.
The first time I've felt that way.
Right. So I'm like, I think I'm getting even maybe more careful. We've been pretty careful the whole time, but I'm getting even more careful now because it's like, well, this, I don't, not now. I mean, of all times.
Don't drop the ball when you're on the goal line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I get that. Well, so other than that, then, which for one thing, I want to make sure everybody knows, we completely wish everybody a happy holidays and you as well. But is there anything else you want to mention or just to let people know where they can find you on a weekly basis?
Just everywhere's Matt F. Basler, youtube.com/Matt F. Basler, Instagram, Matt F. Basler. The web, podcast is called Matt F. Basler. There is a website, mattfbasler.com. keep it simple.
That's good branding.
Yeah, right.
So thanks for coming on. We kind of threw this together last minute and it was awesome. It was fortuitous that we did because COVID, like you said, if we're here at the end, COVID has really messed up all my co-hosts for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So,
I'm here next week. I'm here the week after.
Awesome.
I'm ready to go, man.
I am serious. I think that we could probably fill in a couple hours of deep dive into some pop culture stuff. I know there's, I never want to spoil the mystique of the Matt F. Basler podcast, but I know that you, the knowledge and your excitement about talking to it, I think shown through today. Way more than it does on your own podcast, which is I do encourage everybody to check it out. Like I said, you might be one of my wife's favorite follows on anything because
I love Missy, she's fantastic.
And I'll tell you this too, the Silver Badger Tommy, who's probably months and months from returning to the show because his family's really overly cautious over this COVID thing, which it's fine.
Oh yeah.
But he, when he first listened to you, wasn't on our show. He knew you were coming on our show, so he listened to your other stuff, and he had not taken a deep enough dive. Yes. But he was like, "Is this guy for real?" I go, "What do you mean?"
He goes, "I love it."
Is he supposed to be funny? Is what? And then I told him, I go, you can't judge it by listening to 1 5-minute segment.
Oh, that's my favorite thing. That's beautiful. I love it.
And since then he's listened and he's like, I get it now. But he goes, I did not when I first listened.
Yeah, that's great, man. Yeah, no, I mean, that's exactly what I want to hear.
Well, then we'll end on that note. I appreciate you coming on and tell everybody bye.
Bye, everybody.
All right. Thanks, my man.
Thanks, man.